Good evening. Welcome to Wombats and Music. This is your host, Harry Baya, bringing you Wombats and Music from Emory and Henry College in Emory, Virginia. Wombats and Music is my opportunity to play for you my favorite tunes and occasionally throw in some oddball things, which I call wombats. Perhaps a reading, perhaps some sort of entertainment, in addition to the music. But tonight, it's mostly going to be music. I think it's all music. I had a wombat lined up, but I think I'll spare you this. But I might throw it in. Beware. I'm going to start off with, again, of course, I always say these are my favorites. All these songs are my favorites. I only play songs that I absolutely love, ones I want to hear again and again. And, of course, that means sometimes I play them again and again, too. Anyway, this is I'm on Fire by Bruce Springsteen. It's from 1983, and Bruce Springsteen was in his prime then. He's still a big star. He was a Super Bowl headliner for the halftime about 2 years ago. And this particular song has a wonderful video. If you go on YouTube and look up I'm on Fire by Bruce Springsteen, he's playing the part of a mechanic, and a lady with a fancy car comes in, and he's kind of taken with her, but he doesn't say much to her, just yes, ma'am, and okay. And he goes up to drop off the keys, and this song is the song playing in the background, I'm on Fire. Obviously, he is thinking of her day and night. But in the video, he decides just to drop the keys in the door box. He doesn't knock on the door. He doesn't go in. He goes back on down the hill.
I can take you high. Six-inch valley through the middle of my skull. At night I wake up with the sheets soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head. Only you can cool my desire.
That was Harry Belafonte singing, that was not Harry Belafonte, that was Bruce Springsteen singing I'm on Fire from 1983. And next is Harry Belafonte singing Scarlet Ribbons. And Harry Belafonte I've introduced in several shows recently. He was a social activist. He is a social activist. He became very popular in the 50s singing Caribbean songs, Calypso. But he had a very wide range of interest and talent. And sponsored a number of younger singers who came up the line. And brilliant, brilliant singer. Just a craftsman. This song, Scarlet Ribbons, is another example of his ability to just take each word in the song and give it meaning. I remember this song from the 50s, and it was always a fascinating to me. I don't really believe in miracles of the type that things happen without some reason, without some explanation. But this is the song of a little miracle that happened to Harry Belafonte, I guess you'd say, or to the writer of the song. And it's just beautiful. It's credible. Somehow in the song you think, yeah, I guess it happened.
I peeked in to say good night. Then I heard my child in prayer. And for me, some scarlet ribbons for my hair. All the stores were closed and shuttered. All the streets were dark and bare. In our town, no scarlet ribbons for her hair. Through the night, my heart was aching. Just before the dawn was breaking, I peeked in, and on her bed in gay profusion lying there, lovely scarlet ribbons for her hair. If I live to be 100, I will never know from where. Scarlet ribbons for her hair.
That was Harry Belafonte singing Scarlet Ribbons, and one of my all-time favorites. We're going to move on now to something a lot more recent. This song was recorded in 2004 by Peter Gabriel. Peter Gabriel was the lead singer for a group called Genesis, a very popular group in his time, and he left them. And often when the lead singer from a very popular group leaves them, that group doesn't continue to be popular. But in this case, he was followed by another person who you may have heard of, Phil Collins. Imagine having one person of the magnitude of Peter Gabriel be in the group and then being followed by Phil Collins, one of the most popular singers in history. He was the drummer in the group and also the lead singer. I heard this song, which is called The Book of Love, on TV. I often just sort of push around the channels, and I ran into a version of Scrubs, one of these shows of Scrubs. I had never watched Scrubs much. I knew some of the characters, but I knew them. I guess I had seen enough of them to know who they were. And this was, it turned out, the finale of Scrubs. And the lead character was going around sort of saying goodbye to everybody. I guess he was transferring hospitals. And so each of his relationships with the janitor and the nurse and the doctor and the anesthetist, each relationship was brought out. And in the background, this song was playing, The Book of Love. And I listened in, and I thought, you know, I love that song. I got to get that song for my show. So I did. And this is it. This is The Book of Love, sung by Peter Gabriel. Thank you.
and boring. No one can lift a damn thing. It's full of charts and facts and figures and instructions for dancing. But I love it when you read to me, and you can read me anything. The Book of Love has music in it. In fact, that's where music comes from. Some of it's just transcendental. Some of it's just really dumb. But
that was The Book of Love by Peter Gabriel from 2004. Now we're going to jump to the folk tradition, Irish. This is a song called Arthur MacBride. Many people have sung this song. The version I'm playing is by Andy Irving and Paul Brady. And one of the places I looked said this was the definitive version, but I think that's pretty hard to call because it's been sung by so many top artists in Ireland. And just a wonderful story. It's kind of an anti-war story, I guess, in its way. But still, I like it partly because of the tune. When I first heard it, I heard just a little tiny piece of it. I was crossing a George Washington Bridge, and I had a cassette tape recorder in my hand. I recorded this little tiny piece of the song and loved it. And I was looking for it for years. I would sing it to people. And finally, I bumped into a guy and sang a little friend of mine in the folk music club. He said, "Oh, that's Arthur MacBride. I know that song. I sang that song. I'll sing it for you later," he said. And he did. And since then, I've learned the song and sung it and heard it many times. And also, the tune goes, da 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 da. Ah, me and me, comrade one, Arthur MacBride. I think that's right. We're going to hear it in a minute. You'll hear the real tune. Anyway, I find that I can fit words to that. A friend and I used to walk around singing to each other. I would say, "Good morning, oh, tell me now, how are you?" She'd say, I'm fine, you see." So we would just use that tune. I love the tune, and I love the story. So this is Arthur MacBride by Andy Irving and Paul Brady, and perhaps the definitive version of this song. It has one of the longest guitar introductions of any song I know. But eventually, they do start singing.
Says he, my fine fellows, if you will enlist, it's 10 guineas in gold I will slip in your fist, and a crown in the bargain for to kick up the dust and drink the king's health in the morning. For a soldier, he leads a very fine life, and he always is blessed with a charming young wife. And he pays all his debts without sorrow or strife, and always lives pleasant and charming. And a soldier, he always is decent and clean, in the finest of clothing he's constantly seen, while other poor fellows go dirty and mean, and sup on thin gruel. Says Arthur, I wouldn't be proud of your clothes, for you've only the lend of them, as I suppose, and you dare not change them one night, for you know if you do, you'll be flogged in the morning. And although that we are single and free, we take great delight in our own company, and we have no desire strange faces to see, although the cheer offers are charming. And we have no desire to take your advance, all hazards and dangers we barter on chance, for you would have no scruples for to send us to France, where we would get shot without warning. Oh, now, says the sergeant, I'll have no such chat, and I neither will take it from spalpeen or brat. For if you insult me with one other word, I'll cut off your heads in the morning. And then Arthur and I, we soon drew our hearts, and we scarce gave them time for to draw their own blades, when a trusty shillelagh came over their heads and bade them take that as fair warning. And their own rusty rapiers that hung by their side, we flung them as far as we could in the tide. Now take them out, devils, cried Arthur, my pride, and temper their edge in the morning. And the little wee drummer we flattened his power. it's a rowdy dodo. Through it in the tide, for to rock and to roll, and bad at the tedious returning. And we haven't no money, paid them off in cracks, and we paid no respect to the two bloody backs, while we lathered them there like a pair of wet sacks, and left them for dead in the morning. And so, to conclude and to finish disputes, we obligingly asked if they wanted recruits, while we were the lads who would give them hard clubs and bid them look sharp in the morning. Oh, me and my cousin Juan Arthur McBride, as we went a-walking down by the seaside. Now Marco had followed and what did betide, for it being on Christmas morning.
Well, that was Arthur McBride by Andy Irving and Peter Brady. And that tune just haunts me. We're going to make a big jump now. We're going to the Beatles. I love to play Beatles songs. I was in my 20s when the Beatles hit, and they kind of moved me on from my childhood songs into a whole new generation, the pop culture of the 60s and 70s. And this song is Yellow Submarine, and it was written. I'm going to read you what it says in Wikipedia. It's fascinating. Anytime the introduction is longer than the song, you probably got a problem, but that's going to be the case here. The song was written by Paul McCartney to be sung by Ringo Starr. Ringo Starr doesn't do a lot of the lead singing with the Beatles. He's got a good voice, but apparently a limited range, and so this song was written so he'd have something to sing. And as they began to write the song about an old sailor remembering his days on the sea, a number of people got involved. The other Beatles got involved. Donovan got involved, the very famous singer, and they began to make up verses and things, and apparently it got more absurd as it moved along, but they had a good time with it. But here's the part I want to read to you. This is about the recording of the song and the things they did to make it sound interesting. Produced by George Martin and engineered by Jeff Emmerich, Yellow Submarine was finished after five takes on 26 May 1966 in the studio at Abbey Road Studios. Special effects were added on June 1st. On the second session, the studio store clipboard was ransacked for special effects, which included chains, a ship's bell, tap dancing mats, whistles, hooters, a tin bath filled with water, wind and thunderstorm machines, as well as a cash register, which was later used in Pink Floyd's song Money. Lennon blew through a straw into a pan of water to create a bubbling effect. McCartney and Lennon talked through tin cans to create the sound of the captain's orders at 1:37 in the song. Ringo stepped outside the doors of the recording studio and yelled like a sailor, acknowledging, "Cut the cable, drop the cable," which was looped into the song afterwards. And Abbey Road employees John Skinner and Terry Condon twirled chains in a tin bath to create water sounds. After the line and the band began to play, Emmerich found a recording of a brass band and changed it slightly so it could not be identified, although it was thought to be a recording of George Cryer and George Hemmer's 1906 composition, La Rêve Passée. To stay with the children's stories theme, the original recording and a spoken intro by Starr had a spoken intro by Starr, but the idea was abandoned. Well, I could go on, but just all the things they were doing to make this song interesting. And what you get is just a classic children's song in many ways, called Yellow Submarine, lead singer Ringo Starr.
In the town where I was born lived a man who sailed to sea, and he told us of his life in the land of submarines. So we sailed unto the sun till we found the sea of green, and we lived beneath the waves in our yellow submarine.
We all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine, yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine, yellow submarine.
And our friends are all aboard. Many more of them live next door. And the band begins to play.
We all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine, yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine, yellow submarine.
Post on ahead, Mr. Blackhead, post on ahead.
As we live a life of ease, every one of us has all we need. Sky of blue and sea of green in our yellow submarine.
We all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine, yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine, yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine, yellow submarine. We all.
That was Yellow Submarine by the Beatles, with Ringo Starr singing the lead. You're listening to Wombats and Music. I'm your host, Harry Baya. Every Monday night from 7 to 8, we're on WEHC FM 90.7, the college and community station from Emory and Henry College in Emory, Virginia. We're in the southwest tip of the state of Virginia, and this little college is a wonderful place to be, and I'm allowed to play my favorite songs every Monday night from 7 to 8, and I hope you like them. I have more fun finding these songs and listening to them than I can ever communicate to you over the air. It's just a joy, and I get a big kick out of it. So I'm going to play you some more. You've been listening to a number of classics. Now I'm going to move into someone I know personally, Ann Price. Ann is in the New York Pinewoods Folk Music Club, probably has the finest voice of any of the women, in my opinion, in the club. Over the years, there have been some other people come through that would rival her, but they didn't stay, and none would do much better. Beautiful, beautiful voice. A number of albums out. Never made much money from it, I don't think. Not a real popular person in terms of economics, but performs in clubs all over New York City, well known to all of us, and it's an honor to sing with her, and I've sung with her many times. And both these songs I learned after hearing her sing them. The first one is called Two Sisters. It's a classic folk story about two sisters who are rivals. A young man comes and courts one, actually courts the younger one, and the older one gets jealous. And there are many versions of this. And often the older sister does the younger one in, and then they use her body parts to build a fiddle in the most classic version. In this version, they use parts of her to make a banjo. So it's kind of a different twist, a little more morbid, I guess. But Anne's voice comes through clearly. It's a lovely song. I enjoy hearing it. I enjoy singing it. And this is Ann Price singing Two Sisters.
There was an old woman lived in the West, way down. There was an old woman lived in the West. Came a young man, a courtier. floating man way down by the sea. There came a young man a-courting all of their houses and lands. I will be true to my love if my love will be true to me. He gave the young one a fine gold ring, way down, he gave the young one a fine gold ring, way down by the sea, he gave sank and she sometimes swam way down, she sometimes sank and she sometimes swam way down by the sea.
Never.
That was Anne Bryce singing Two Sisters. Now we're going to jump to the country music tradition. 1979, the Bellamy Brothers singing a great line. If you ever want a pickup line, well, I guess it would work for a guy or a girl, although I think it's more of a guy's line. You'll know why. The song is, "If I told you you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?" I played this song a year or two ago, and one of my listeners wrote in and said, "This is not a good song. This is unfair. It's a sexist song. What if you don't have a beautiful body, you know? Would you hold that against me?" And the implication being that, if a woman doesn't consider herself to have a beautiful body, is the guy not going to ever like her? And she wanted to write a version of the song that brought that out. I don't think she has yet. If you haven't, please do. And I assured her that I, for one, if I love somebody, though a beautiful body is a wonderful thing, it's not a showstopper. So I think the other version would be a great version, the one that says something along the lines, "If I don't have a beautiful body, would you still hold my body against you," or something. This is, "If I told you you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?" by the Bellamy Brothers from, I've got to find it now. It's from 1979, which is a ways back. Here we go.
If I said you have a beautiful body, would you hold it against me? If I swore you were an angel, would you treat me like the devil tonight? If I was dying of thirst, would you flow in love, come quench me? If I said you have a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?
Now we could talk all night about the weather. About my friends out on the coast, I could ask a lot of crazy questions or ask you what I really want to know. If I said
was, well, you know what it was. If I told you you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me? By the Bellamy Brothers from 1979. Now we're going to jump to 1981. This is Bertie Higgins singing Key Largo. Beautiful, beautiful song. And listening to Bertie Higgins' voice, he just seems to be a master of this song. Oddly enough, this was his only top 40 hit. He had a number of, he had a good career, I think. Probably still has a good career. But this was the only time he broke into the top 40. It's based a lot on the 1948 film about Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. And, but it has a mood to it. And it's people in love in a drifty sort of way. The same kind of lost feeling that was in the movie of Key Largo. Sort of away from everything and drifting along. And I find it fascinating. It's just a classic to me. And here we go. Key Largo by Bertie Higgins.
Wrapped around each other, trying so hard to stay warm. First cold winter together, lying in each other's arms, watching those old movies, falling in love so desperately. Honey, I was your hero, and you were my leader. We had it all, just like Bogie and Bacall, starring in our own Late Late Show, sailing away to Key Largo. Here's looking at you, kid, missing all the things we did. Can't you remember? We played all the parts. That sweet scene of surrender, when you gave me your heart. Please say you will play it again, 'cause I love you still. Maybe this can't be the end. We had it all, just like Bogie and Bacall, starring in our own Late Late Show, sailing away to Key Largo. Here's looking at you, again, just like they did in Key Largo. We had it all, just like Bogie and Bacall, starring in our own Late Late Show, sailing away to Key Largo. Here's looking at you.
That was Key Largo by Bertie Higgins. There are some wonderful lines in there. Here's looking at you, kid, from a Bogart movie. And the one about, don't you remember, looking back, and it can't be over. I just think it catches a wonderful mood. Well, we're going to jump moods now. We're going to play The Rose, sung by Bette Midler. I always thought she wrote this song. It was just so strongly identified with her. But she didn't. A woman named Amanda McBroom wrote it. And she herself was a very good singer and sang with the Jacques Brel group on New York, and I went to that show. So this is Bette Midler. She sang this song in the movie The Rose in 1979, and it quickly became a classic, one of the great songs of all time. It tells, well, I won't tell you what it tells. It's the story of what we all seek, I think, in a way. So this is The Rose by Bette Midler, from 1979.
drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love,
that was The Rose by Bette Midler. If anybody knows what love is and can explain it to me, I'd appreciate it. That song certainly tries. And the line that hits hardest to me is the one that says, "Some say love, it is a flower, and you, it's only seed." That really puts the responsibility on the individual to discover love and to become love. We're going to jump to something humorous now. I'm going to go over to Wolf Creek Pass by C.W. McCall. And this is a song, let's see, what year, 1975, country music, C.W. McCall. It's mostly spoken. I'm going to read you some of the lines from the song. These two truckers are in an old 1948 Peterbilt truck, and they are coming over the top of the Great Divide and coming downhill. This is a real place, a real town, and part of this story could have really happened, not that we think it did. But here's some of the lines. The two men are in the truck, and one guy's driving, Earl is driving, and the passenger says, "I looked at Earl, and his eyes was wide, his lip was curled, his leg was fried, and his hand was froze to the wheel like a tongue to a sled in the middle of a blizzard. I said, 'Earl, I'm not the type to complain, but the time has come for me to explain that if you don't apply some brakes real soon, they're going to have to pick us up with a stick and a spoon.'" That's more country music classic writing. So here's the story of Wolf Creek Pass, sung and spoken by C.W. McCall.
"Mm-hmm. Me and Earl was hauling chickens on the flatbed out of Wiggins, and we'd spent all night on the uphill side of 37 miles of hell called Wolf Creek Pass, which is up on the Great Divide. And we was sitting there sucking toothpicks and drinking knee-highs and onion soup mix, and I says, Earl, let's mail a card to Mother and then send them chickens on down the other side. Yeah, let's give them a ride.
Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide, trucking on down the other side.
Well, Earl put down his bottle and mashed his foot down on the throttle, and then a couple of boobs with 1,000 cubes and the 1948 Peterbilt screamed alive. We woke up the chickens. We roared up off of that shoulder, spraying pine cones, rocks, and boulders, and put 400 head of them Rhode Island Reds and a couple of burnt-out roosters on the line. Look out below, 'cause here we go.
Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide, turn on down the other side.
Well, we commenced trucking, and them hens commenced a clucking. And Earl took out a match and scratched his pants and lit up the unused half of a dollar cigar and took a puff. Says, my, ain't this pretty up here. I says, Earl, this hill can spill us. You better slow down, you gon' kill us. Just make one mistake and it's the pearly gates for them 85 crates of USDA approved cluckers. You wanna hit second?
Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide, trucking on down the other side.
Well, Earl grabbed on the shifter and he stabbed her into fifth gear, and then the chromium-plated, fully illuminated, genuine accessory shift knob come right off in his hand. I says, you want to screw that thing back on, Earl? He was trying to thread it on there when the fire fell off of his cigar and dropped on down, sort of rolled around, and then lit in the cuff of Earl's pants and burned a hole in his sock. Yeah, sort of set him right on fire. I looked on out of the window and I started counting phone poles going by at the rate of 4 to the 7th power. Well, I put 2 and 2 together and added 12 and carried 5. I'm up with 22,000 telephone poles an hour. I looked at Earl and his eyes was wide. His lip was curled and his leg was fried. His hand was froze to the wheel like a tongue to a sled in the middle of a blizzard. I says, Earl, I'm not the type to complain, but the time has come for me to explain that if you don't apply some brake real soon, they're going to have to pick us up with a stick and a spoon. Well, Earl reared back, cocked his leg, and stepped down as hard as he could on the brake. The pedal went clear of the floor and stayed right there on the floor. And it says it's sort of like stepping on a plum. Well, from there on down, it just wasn't real pretty. It was Hairpin County and Switchback City. One of them looked like a can full of worms. Another one looked like malaria germs. Right in the middle of the whole damn show was a real nice tunnel, now wouldn't you know. The sign says clearance to the 12-foot line, but the chickens was stacked to 13-9. Well, we shot that tunnel in 110 like gas through a funnel and eggs through a hen. We took that top row of chickens off slicker and the scum off a Louisiana swamp. Went down and around and around and down. We run out of ground at the edge of town. Bashed into the side of the feed store in downtown Pagosa Springs.
Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide, trucking on down the other side. Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide, trucking on down the other side.
That was Wolf Creek Pass by C.W. McCall. You've been listening to Wombats and Music with your host, Harry Baia, on WEHC FM 90.7, your college and community station from Emory and Henry, Virginia. Emory and Henry College, Emory, Virginia. Little announcements coming up. Let's see. Next week will be my first Christmas show. I'm going to play almost all Christmas songs, only classics that I love, not your traditional jingle bells, although I do hope to throw in... let's see, what is it? Is it Here Comes Santa Claus with the Alvin and the Chipmunks? I may even put on me singing one song. And also, on December 16th, Rob Chamberlain, who records the audio Bookworm, comes on right before my show, I think. It's 6:30 at night, probably, maybe not. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. On Saturdays, they play the whole thing. He does a half-hour show each day, reading from a book. And he and I have been reading. He has been reading A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, and I play the part of Scrooge. I don't have a lot of lines, but I have a lot of fun. And that's going to start airing December 16th. So look forward to hearing A Christmas Carol. I want to thank you all again for joining me in my favorite songs, and hope we all continue to do what I think we should do best, which is to celebrate most joyously our being here at all. Good night.